Hey everyone, a quick note before we start the show. Last week, the most amazing thing happened. A Björk Unraveled listener offered me 2 tickets to the Björk Orchestral show on Sunday. I'll share the full story in a future episode, but basically, I'm flying to Iceland this weekend. This has changed some of my plans for the season, so I'm going to take a month off after this episode to work on some new material. But I'll return on December 2nd to talk about Björk Orchestral, the Cornucopia Tour, and more. Thank you so much for listening and for your support. I love reading your comments and messages on Instagram. And if you're enjoying the show, please consider donating. There's a link in the show notes. Every dollar helps me keep the Björk Unraveled community alive. All right, on to the show. You're listening to Björk Unraveled, a series that demystifies Björk's music one piece at a time. I'm your host, Savannah Wright. It's the 1995 MTV Europe Music Awards. The announcer is listing the nominees for Best Female Artist. And for each nominee, they show a clip from that person's music video. So there's Sheryl Crow strumming her guitar and nodding her head. Then there's PJ Harvey looking fierce as she swims underwater wearing this blood red lipstick. Janet Jackson is bopping around in a pastel polo shirt at the beach. Madonna is dancing in this slick black bodysuit against a stark white background. And the other nominee is Björk, who's getting her teeth pulled by a giant gorilla. Not to knock any of the other nominees, but one of these videos is not like the others. And then the announcer reads the winner for Best Female Artist.
Best Female, Björk, yeah!
He doesn't even say her name right, so at first everyone is kind of confused. And then the music kicks in, and the camera pans to a woman wearing a silver dress, a furry stuffed animal backpack, and bright red boots. She's stumbling into the aisle in complete shock, like eyes wide, hands over her mouth, stomping up and down in excitement. She races to the stage to give her acceptance speech, but not without first holding her award triumphantly over her head. As you can hear, the crowd is loving it.
Okay, here comes the cliche. Of course I could think about 9,000 people, but I would like to thank Derek Burkitt, who stood by my side for 12 years.
Then she walks off the stage and does another triumphant jump in the air. Even though this award wasn't for music videos, you can't help but notice how different hers was, how forward-thinking. And this was 1995. Björk was just getting started. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that Björk has elevated the music video to an art form. She was experimenting with augmented reality before Instagram. She was making robots fall in love before Westworld. And as I mentioned in the last episode, one of her music videos was specifically commissioned by a modern art museum. She's a modern day Picasso. But if you're new to this extensive portfolio, you might feel a little lost. So let me introduce you to a friend who can guide the way.
I remember that one of the first videos I was obsessed with was Stone Milker.
This is Isabel. That's not their real name, but they are the creator of the Björk fan page called My Name Isabel Page.
I love the simplicity of the video and that strange woman all alone in the Icelandic cliff crying for her love.
Isabel got into Björk's music when they heard that same album Stone Milker is from.
It's a bit private, but I was coming out of a relationship breakup and I remember listening to Vulnikura every day in my bedroom. And yeah, it helped me a lot to deal with the pain. And since then, I've not been able to do without Björk.
So they started following Björk's music and news. And pretty soon, they made a fan page to share what they were discovering. Their Instagram now has over 6,000 followers, some of whom are actually Bjork's collaborators. So yeah, Isabel may be a recent fan, but they definitely know a thing or two about Bjork. And that's why I wanted to bring them on to talk about a career-spanning topic, Bjork's music videos. In this episode, Isabel and I will talk about 10 videos you should watch or rewatch and why. I also had some listeners reach out about their favorite music videos, and I included 3 of them here. They have some great analysis that I want you to hear. And by the end of the episode, you'll see how Bjork made the music video an art form. So let's go ahead and start with debut. So the music video you picked is Venus as a Boy, directed by Sophie Muller. She's a famous British music video director. And in this music video, Bjork cooks some eggs in a colorful kitchen. And that's it. That's the plot. But dang, does she look good and sound great while she does it. Hey, sweet Jack, a sense of humor. She's wearing an orange shirt and red skirt. Her hair is pulled into those tiny mini buns that she did a lot during this time period. She has these black dots painted above her eyebrows, kind of like an Indian bindi, which is probably a nod to the Indian influence of the song because she said she wanted it to sound like a Bollywood soundtrack. So I'm curious why you chose this particular music video, because I feel like when we talk about debut, Human Behavior is the one that gets a lot of attention.
Yeah, personally, I couldn't have chosen otherwise. I was watching this video on loop when I was 16. I was bored and waiting for something exciting like Bjork in that video. I adore the video because it completes the lyrics in a soft and ironic way, I think. So Venus is the goddess of feminine beauty, but the character is a male. And Bjork, I think, she breaks stereotypes since 1993, and she does it in her kitchen.
That's true. Yeah, a little bit more about just the eroticism and the egg imagery. She said that this video was inspired by her favorite book, which is Story of the Eye by George Bataille. One of those characters in the book, she uses a boiled egg to stimulate herself. So that is why we have all these eggs in this video. And while we're kind of on this topic of a simple music video that really, you know, captures your attention, like you said, you watch this video on a loop. I wanted to share another clip from a listener who is talking about their favorite music video.
Hi, this is Rich from Montreal. My favorite Bjork music video is Big Time Sensuality. I know, it's far from being her most epic video. In fact, the concept is deceptively simple. Bjork prancing around on the back of a truck in the busy streets of New York City. Nothing really happens, and yet somehow it is never boring. The video highlights an important quality of Bjork. Besides being a brilliant composer and singer, she's also visually mesmerizing, to the point where she could might as well have no talent and still captivate me.
So I love how that connects to what you were saying about it's exciting just to watch her do something simple. And with Big Time Sensuality, all she's doing is just kind of dancing in front of the camera, I guess on a trailer. And it's just so engaging still. Okay, so I think we can move on to the post era. So the one that you chose was I Miss You from 1997. This one was animated and directed by John Chris Belusi of Spoomco. He's known for the Ren and Stimpy cartoons, which I guess Bjork watched with her kid Sindri. I did not know that. So this features Bjork as a redhead, and she's dancing and interacting with one of Chris Belusi's characters, Jimmy the Idiot Boy. We see her in various scenes in her house. She's waking up, she's getting ready, she's taking a bath. Some of the video is live action, some is animated. There's a lot of weird Chris Belusi characters walking around. So I wanted to ask why you love this music video, because for me, it was a little disturbing when I first watched it. But what stands out to you about it?
Yeah, my boyfriend introduced me to this video and he dedicated it to me. And when I watched it for the first time, I was kind of disturbed and I found it very strange. But it's just Bjork. If there's one thing that you learn from Bjork, is that it's okay to be weird and you don't have to censor yourself. Just be yourself and tear that chicken if you need it.
Yeah, so near the end of the video, she tears up a chicken. And it's funny that this was actually a scene that was cut during showings on MTV. So I guess it was too graphic. But yeah, I would say this is about as 90s of a music video as you get. It was released the same year that Radiohead did their iconic music video that's animated for Paranoid Android. So it has that mixture of funny and disturbing, like you were saying. So one more question I have for you is, why did you choose this particular music video and not It's Oh So Quiet? Because that's the one that I feel like everyone knows.
Yeah. To be honest, I've known that video since I was a child. And I watched it even before I knew who Bjork was. And I got tired of that music video as of that song, which became very commercial. And today there are many advertisements featuring It's Oh So Quiet or covers of it. And I think I've heard enough.
Yeah, I know. It's been around for a while. And I think it's good that we're talking about other ones that maybe people haven't seen yet. Okay, so now I think we're going to move into Homogenic. And the one that you chose was Hunter. If travel is searching and home what's been found. This one was directed by Paul White from Me Company. And she had worked with Me Company for the artwork of Homogenic and Post. So this was kind of an extension of that relationship. And the computer animation was by Digital Domain. So in this video, you see a close-up of a bald Bjork singing against a white background. And as she sings, she'll shake her head like she's in pain. And then you see these digital silver projections kind of form on her face. And then she'll shake her head again and then they'll retreat back. So it's kind of like a push and pull throughout the video. They appear, they retreat. But then eventually her head will transform into a digital polar bear's head. Bjork called the design of the bear techno because she wanted something unrealistic to mirror the album's mixture of nature and technology. So it's not a photorealistic polar bear head, but it's like a cool, the way that she describes it is like an avatar. How do you interpret the video? Like, what does this video make you think of?
Well, I don't think there's too much to explain about this video because Bjork just needs to shake her head to become a bear and go hunting. I love this video because she appears in the foreground in a single shoot. Also, you could say by watching this video that Bjork was the first person to use Instagram filters.
Yeah, I thought of that too, about the Instagram filters. She was so ahead of her time there. And critics, when they saw this music video, they loved it. They started comparing it to Robert Louis Stevenson's Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, where it's like these two characters in one character, Herzog's Grizzly Man, and Donna Haraway's A Cyborg Manifesto.
Yeah, I'm not surprised by the juxtaposition with Donna Haraway's Cyborg Manifesto, which I love. And this is perhaps, I think, one of the first manifestations of Bjork's interest in technology. For the first time, she appears as an avatar. Since then, many more of her avatars have been made, more elaborate, up to the music video for Loss. I recommend you take a look at her Instagram page. In 2018, she gave a little throwback to all of her avatars.
Yeah, it's interesting that she has these kind of characters or avatars for each, well, not each song, but like a lot of the songs as well as the albums. What she said about this music video to The Wire was, quote, "You leave home, you travel, go nuts, and then the moment comes where you've hunted enough experiences and you realize that you could sit down in this house with these people and be fine for the rest of your life. It's about a moment like that. It's about the argument between hunting experiences and stopping and settling," close quote. I'm the hunter. So I like that image of transformation and also like going through phases. Like there are periods where you'll be hunting for new experiences and going out into the world, and periods where you'll be back at home more comfortable. Because I see that as like the core shift from homogenic to vespertine. Like homogenic, she's kind of hunting around Iceland, and then she retreats into her actual house with vespertine. So let's do another one from homogenic. This one, I feel like a lot of people will have seen it, or at least seen it referenced. It's All Is Full of Love, and it was directed by Chris Cunningham. So when Björk was developing the idea, she said, quote, "I think the only thing I said was that I thought it was very white, and I'm trying to describe some sort of heaven, but I wanted also to have the other level there. There would be lust. It wouldn't be just clean. It should be something that's white and frozen, and then it sort of melts because of love and making love," close quote. So when the video starts, it's a shot of these black wires in a dark room, and then the camera pans towards some flashing white light, and then it reveals two android versions of Björk, and they're being assembled, and they're singing while that's happening, and then they're eventually placed together, and then as the chorus starts to kick in, they kiss. And this was something that people really were drawn to. Like, all the critics loved it. It won a lot of awards. It was included in MTV's and Time Magazine's best music videos of all time. It was even featured in several museums. It inspired the opening title sequence of Westworld. So people loved the special effects and that Björk was bringing a sensuality to technology that hadn't really been done before. And I wanted to ask you, with all of these appearances in museums and on like the best of lists, why do you think this video was so embraced by the art world?
Well, I still wonder why Björk has chosen two robots for a song about love, but I think that the video had a lot of success because maybe it follows a science fiction current. Literally, all is full of love, technology too. By watching this video, I can't stop thinking also about Tarka's music video for Non-Binary, where she's a pregnant robot in an amorphous hospital room. I think maybe given their friendship, she was inspired by Björk.
Yeah, that's a good point. I haven't seen that music video, but I know that Arca has just talked about how much Björk inspired her growing up and how much she listened to her music. And so I'm sure it was a reference, whether intentional or not. Okay, let's move into Vespertine. So this music video we're about to talk about is, I think, also one of Björk's most famous ones. It's Pagan Poetry. It was directed by Nick Knight, who photographed the cover of Homogenic. The premise here is that Björk is a bride in a ritualistic ceremony that's preparing her for her wedding. But it's kind of an intense ritualistic ceremony that involves a lot of body piercing. And it also has some kind of abstracted videos at the beginning that are Björk's personal home videos. And so it's like her most explicit video, but you can't quite tell if you don't know what you're watching. In an interview with NME, Nick Knight said, quote, "I wanted to strip her down. She's actually quite raw, womanly, and sexy. There's a different side to her that doesn't come across normally in her videos. That's what I asked her to do, and that's what she did. I gave her a Sony Mini DV camera and asked her to shoot her own private scenes. She asked me to make a film about her love life, so I merely gave it back to her and said, film your love life," close quote. So this was all Bjork's idea to show her sexuality. And then this is the big shot that everyone remembers. Then you see Bjork singing against a dark background, and her hair is like blowing all over the place in the wind. And she's wearing this famous dress by Alexander McQueen that's basically topless. So you see these like tulle and lace at the bottom, but you just see her bare breasts and then these strands of pearls that are going from the waist up. So it looks like the pearls are sewn into her skin instead of like into fabric. And yeah, I can't really do it justice. Just go look at it. It's incredible. And I have a clip from a listener, Sam, from Australia. And he had some great analysis, and he describes the Pagan Poetry video better than I can.
I think Pagan Poetry is definitely my favorite music video. And it's for a couple of reasons. I think that just the ideas that she explores here are just incredible. Like her ideas about her sexuality and that ambivalence and that beauty that she feels with this person. You know, you've got those contrasting ideas of pain and pleasure, you know, with like the needles piercing through her skin. And also the ideas about the darkness and the light, with, you know, the darkest pit in me and the surface simplicity. And we can also see that because of the pornographic material that's been distorted. But we see like between there, where they've got this like white and this like beautiful artwork, and then when it goes to her face and it kind of swaps between this like this sexuality and this reality and like this fantasy, and it's just this constant push and pull of emotions for Bjork. It's just this wonderful, mesmerizing experience.
So yeah, what do you think, Isabel? Do you agree with Sam and his analysis here?
Yeah, of course, I completely agree with the analysis. I think there is a better way to explain it. Pagan Poetry is another classic. I think the music video is one of Bjork's most famous, also because of the scandal it has caused. Even if, as you say, the sexual intercourse is blurred, and when I first watched the video and didn't know what it was about, I hadn't thought about it at all.
Yeah. When I watched the music video, it's interesting because it gave me a new interpretation almost of the bridge.
I love him, 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 I love him.
At first she looks really anguished, but then as she continues singing the bridge and she starts singing "and it makes me want to hurt myself," she looks kind of like thrilled, like really passionate about it. And I hadn't considered that interpretation when I just listened to the song, but it makes me rethink kind of the meaning there, that these are the high highs and the low lows of being in love that she's talking about. Now we have moved to Medulla, and we have two music videos for Medulla we want to talk about. The first one is Who Is It?
His embrace, a fortress. It fuels me and plays.
It's directed by Dawn Shadforth, and I'd say this is one of her simpler videos, but I love it. She's wearing another Alexander McQueen dress. She asked for a custom dress that would look like a bell because of the bells in the song, and he delivered, because it's not only shaped like a bell, but it's also covered completely in these small jingle bells. So she's just a walking instrument. She's also wearing a custom hair mask, similar to the one that she wears on the cover of the album. And the entire video is her just dancing around in the Icelandic wilderness. And then there's cutaway shots of her holding these beautiful huskies and then other children that are playing the bells and wearing these little bell suits too. And it's just so charming. Why do you think this is one of Bjork's best videos? Because I don't think it's as obvious of a choice.
Well, I love this video because, as Bjork says, It's simple happiness and it gives me goosebumps. The song is a celebration of love, and I think that this video represents in a surrealistic way Björk's inner mood. She felt like a bell and she became a bell. There's not much more to add. You should just watch it and get carried away.
Yeah, totally. I also get goosebumps when I watch this one. It just makes me smile. Like, I love the song already, but when I see her dancing with the children in the bell suits, it's just so endearing. And it's also great that she included children in this video because she dedicated this song to her daughter Isadora. So I just love that little tie-in there. So that brings us to the next one we chose from Medulla, Triumph of a Heart. It's directed by Spike Jonze. He also did It's Oh So Quiet and It's in Our Hands. And they filmed this one in Reykjavik, which is Björk's hometown. So it starts with Björk in bed with a cat who's wearing a wife beater. Or if you don't know the American slang, it's just like a white tank top. And she looks really frustrated that the cat is not looking at her or talking to her. So she storms off and she hits the town and she gets drunk at a bar and then creates a cappella music with her friends at the bar. And then she stumbles towards home and even falls on her face at one point. And then in the early morning, she's still walking towards home and a car pulls up and it's her cat husband. And he drives her home and they forgive each other and they kiss. And then the cat grows to become life size and they just end with a hilarious dance number. And we have a clip from a listener named Javier from New York City, and they connected this music video to an earlier episode from this season of Björk Unraveled.
I feel like following with what you say of Medulla being her most punk album, I think that this video is kind of punk, kind of shows how Björk is or what her personal life looks like. Surrounding herself with musicians and partying and being an independent woman, apart from keeping her relationship with this cat or whatever the relationship of the cat means. The moment when she falls and scrapes her head in the making of the video, you see that actually happened and she just keeps on going. That's so punk.
So yeah, I loved that he said that her falling on her face was punk because I hadn't really considered that. But I want to ask, what do you love about this video?
This is absolutely one of my favorite music videos. I love every single part of it. I like that the character is a woman who is bored with her usual routine, but doesn't give up and wants to have fun at any cost. I also love the surrealistic future of the video clip with the choice of a cat instead of a man. Maybe they should have called it Triumph of a Cat.
Yeah.
Jokes aside, my favorite scene is when Björk comes back home after the party and she realizes that at the end she could find happiness in the normal. And for me, the moral of the story is that even if you are in a relationship, it's okay to look for fun elsewhere if you need it. It helps you understand what you need and it helps the relationship grow like that cat. Also, if it matters, she still has that pink dress after 16 years. She was spotted in Mexico City wearing it in 2019.
Yes, that beautiful dress. We talk about it in the episode with Techno Prayer. It's great. I think it's so cute. I'm glad that she still wears it. Okay, so I think we can move on to Wanderlust. This one is from the Volta album cycle. It was directed by Isaiah Saxon and Sean Helfrich of Encyclopedia Pictura in New York City. And it was done in stereoscopic 3D. So it has a mixture of large-scale puppeteering and then live-action acrobatics and miniatures and CG. And I learned that it took 9 months to complete. I cannot stomach the rights and wrongs. I have lost. The video starts with Björk in an ancient Mongolian tribal costume beside a riverbank, and she's surrounded by these snoring yaks. She pulls a river up from the ground, and then she leads the yaks into the water, and they start floating downstream. And she steps onto their backs, and she carries this gray demon version of herself in a backpack. And the demon keeps trying to attack her the whole music video. And then a nature god comes up, and they bend the river to create a waterfall. And Björk and the demon fall down into the waterfall and into these two large golden hands. It feels like a creation story or something to me, but I think it's truly a work of art. Like it's won a few awards for art direction and special effects, and it's very immersive. When you watch it, you really feel like you're in that world. And I want to ask what impresses you about this video and why do you like it?
Well, this is a song that I'm very attached to because I travel a lot, and it describes perfectly the feelings of someone who has to leave and leave everything behind. And so I travel a lot. And it's what Björk did in her youth, moving to London and then frequenting New York City for a long time, even if at the end she came back to Iceland. At the beginning of the music video, you can see some yaks surrounding Björk, who is dressed with a tribal costume. And this, along with the horn sounds, reflects the primitive state of her origin, I think. And the thing that strikes me most is that little clay man that emerges from her backpack. I read that it represents Björk's alter ego, but to me it seems to represent the weight of one's origins, which, even if you don't want it, will be with you wherever you go.
Yeah, I also think that the like most compelling part, like you said, is the clay man or like the demon alter ego. Because like you're saying, you can go wherever you want, but you can't really escape where you came from. And I also love how the video reimagines the opening foghorns in this song as the snores of the yaks. Like, it's just so imaginative and delightful to me. Okay, so let's move on to Biophilia. The one that you chose was Mutual Core, and this is also one of my favorites. It was directed by Andrew Thomas Swan, who would later direct a lot of her videos for Vulnicura and Utopia. And the video was commissioned by the Los Angeles Museum of Contemporary Art. I shuffle around the tectonic plates. I was looking into this video, and I love that the Scientific American called it geology porn. And when you watch the video, you'll understand why. So the video opens with Björk wearing a bright blue wig and a gold dress with gems and rocks on it. And she's standing in a sand pit. She's submerged, like, so you just see her waist up. And she's swinging her hands through the sand. And then there are these dark rocks that are circling her, kind of like dolphins. So they're going through the sand around her. And then above her are two other rocks, which are actually puppets. And they have these protrusions of layers that poke out. And they look kind of like tongues coming out. And so during the video, they interact with each other. And when the song explodes in energy, then the rocks also explode. And the tongues become these models of Björk's face with lava flowing out of the mouth, and it's lighting up her eyes, and then the rocks fuse together and create a huge volcano.
It's like Björk can control nature in this video, you know? Probably, I think the concept was inspired by the Icelandic landscape, and it actually reminds me a lot of Black Lake music video, which is set in the caves of a volcano. Björk is very interesting in geology, as you can hear in Biophilia. On Instagram, she talked also about how excited she was when the volcano where they had shot Black Lake began to erupt.
Yeah, I remember that post. She was like
so excited about it.
Right. I was afraid when our volcano began to erupt.
Yeah, I agree. I think I would have been a little nervous too, but I think she just loves nature expressing itself, you know, like in whatever way that is. I don't know if it's because I watched a lot of these music videos back to back, but this one feels a little bit like All Is Full of Love because there are these two Bjorks who kiss, but this time they're not robots, they're tectonic plates that are fusing together to create a volcano. So I kind of like that same balance between something rigid like technology or tectonic plates and then fluidity, which is like the human relationships. And that metaphor of like tectonic plates and lovers is so perfect because you do go through these periods of calm and then out of nowhere you'll just explode at each other and fight, but those explosions can actually be productive and help you come closer together. So there are two music videos that both of us love from Vilnicora, but I already talked about them a lot in a previous episode, the last episode of season one. So if you haven't heard that episode, listen to it. So now we're going to move on to the last one, which is The Gate from Utopia. So this was also directed by Andrew Thomas Wong. The special effects are by Wolf and Crow. And it features this dress by Gucci's Alessandra Michelle and mask by James Mary. And during the online premiere, Wong said, quote, "The Gate picks up where 2015's Vilnicora left off. It is the first glimpse into Bjork's utopia. The doorway lies within the wound from Vilnicora, which now appears transformed into a prismatic portal channeled between the chests of two lovers. Not lovers in the quotidian romantic sense, but in a broader cosmological way." Close quote. So it starts off with a glimpse of Bjork playing the flute on this alien landscape, and her back is turned to us, but she's wearing this beautiful sunset pink dress, and it's like the sky is pink, so it matches, and she has these floating alien life forms around her. And then she turns to the camera and she finishes playing on the flute, and then the screen goes black, and you see that glimmer of light in the shape of the chest wound that Wong mentioned. It's a reference to Bjork's chest on the cover of Vilnicora. And then it changes shape to an abstract flower type image. And it's hard to describe the rest of the video, but basically Bjork is in this gorgeous silver dress and headpiece. And she interacts with a digital avatar that has a similar iridescent aesthetic. And they dance and interact together. And then in the end, they seem to create a new digital life form. Pitchfork called it the best music video of the year and the best one Bjork had done in a decade. But I want to ask you what your thoughts are on this music video and why it's on your list.
Well, I think that the collaborations between Bjork and Andrew Thomas Wong is one of the best. I love the initial part of the video where you can see Bjork surrounded by a rural and fantastic landscape. And you can see her from behind, and then she slowly turns her face to the camera. As usual, it's the close-ups of her that hit me. With a few glances, she can say anything, and she has a very serious and severe expression.
Yeah, that was something I hadn't really noticed was her eyes in that video, but I'm glad you brought it up because I think that is the takeaway here is like, she has recovered, but she's moving in a different direction. She's not going to go back.
Yeah, and in the same interview you mentioned for Nowness, Bjork say that when you are in shock, you become split like a prism, and that the only thing that can reunite everything is love. So the prism is the symbol of the entire music video. Gucci's dress resembles a prism, Bjork's mask is a prism, Wang's animations are prisms. Yeah, and personally, when I watched it for the first time, I couldn't help but identify with that robotic figure myself, as if now Bjork wants to console me and share love, And I had the same feeling, but far stronger, when I went to Cornucopia in Brussels. I was sitting in the front row and the show started with the gate. A crack opened in the curtain and she came out with her eyes fixed on me as she was singing, because I was the person sitting right in front of her. And I get chills just remembering that moment.
My healed chest wound.
Wow, that's so amazing to lock eyes with her when she's saying those first lines. Wow. Yeah, I love what you said about the prisms. I hadn't read that quote about the fracturing of your heart or your life, but that really brings it together. This music video is just so gorgeous. Like, I just love the graphics. It feels very magical to me. And I also think it feels spiritual, like that act of creation and the act of consolation and healing, kind of what you were saying. I just wanted to end with a fun fact. According to Gucci's Instagram, that custom dress took 550 hours to make, with an additional 320 hours needed for embroidery. So according to that post, quote, the dress's fabrics include 5 meters of pleated iridescent PVC plastic material, 3 meters of PVC iridescent strips, and 20 meters of pleated Lurex organza, close quote. It's breathtaking. If you haven't seen this dress, you need to look it up. It should go in a museum. And didn't you say, Isabel, that it was exhibited somewhere?
Yeah, it was exhibited at Gucci Garden in Florence, I think in 2019. I went to the Gucci Garden, but it wasn't exposed anymore. But I saw the dress she has at the beginning of the video, but not the organza and iridescent dress. Unfortunately,
That would have been amazing to see in person. I just want to like take a magnifying glass and look at every bit of it. I wanted to end with one last question that I always ask my guests, but I love hearing people's stories. So why does Björk's music matter to you personally?
Well, I imagined you were going to ask me this question and I was scared. I've been following Björk for so long that I've forgotten why I like her. I would say that I'm fascinated by her way of making music, which is not an obvious answer, because when I talk about her music, I also mean her outfits, her headpieces, her expressions, everything, which I consider elements that extend the meaning of her songs and are essential to understanding her point of view. And I also appreciate the fact that she doesn't care about fame, awards, or audience. Her music is just for herself. And besides being a great artist, I consider Björk a great philosopher. I often get lost in her interviews where she discusses various existential themes. I want to end by mentioning an article by Michael Krug for The Guardian, where he wrote that for us weirdos, Björk is a blessing. I needed weirdos in my life. I needed to know that you didn't have to look or act like everyone else, and that what made you different could be alchemized into a strength. Björk seemed like a glorious weirdo and an alien.
Yeah, a glorious weirdo. I love that. I mean, I think that's what she's been for a lot of people, right? We see that she's so unafraid to be herself and do what she wants to do, and she's not going to worry about what other people are saying about her. She's just going to do things for the love of doing them, you know, like whether it's music or the way she dresses or the things that she decides to write about in her songs. I like that a lot.
Tearing chickens.
and tearing up chickens, you know. Yeah, she definitely pushes the boundaries in all these music videos. And I think that's because she's not afraid to be weird. She's like, whatever serves the story, right? Or whatever just seems like fun, I'll do it. Well, thank you so much, Isabel, for coming on the show. I really liked all the comments you had about these music videos. It made me think of them in different ways.
Yeah, thank you. And sorry for my accent. Thank you a lot.
Oh, you're fine. It was great.
Coming up on Björk Unraveled, I'll share my experiences in Reykjavik as I visit Björk landmarks, hear her perform at Harpa, and listen to her DJ. I'll trace Björk's journey with feminism, and I'll hear from some of you listeners about how her music helped you embrace your LGBTQ+ identity. And maybe you saw this on Instagram, but I'm also seeing Björk's Cornucopia show in January. There's so much more coming your way. And if you want to help me keep the show alive, please consider donating. There's a link in the show notes. Every dollar will help me pay for software and music for the show. And speaking of, this episode was brought to you by Enrico Topo, Esmond Britt, and Domaretta Yen. Thanks, friends. As Björk would say, you see what's inside of me. If you have an idea for a future episode, tell me about it. You can find me on Instagram at Björk Unraveled. I'm Savannah Wright. Thanks for listening.